Morning. It's been some time since I've been here. I've really missed you. It's a privilege and an honor, of course, to speak to you today. So thank you for that. My sermon's titled Gospel Intensity, so it's kind of wearing off, but I had a few cups of coffee to make sure I was intense enough for you. I think you'd be glad it's starting to wear off a little. What if I told you that you could have an incredible life right here on this planet right now? That you could have the most fulfilling life possible. What if I told you that the focus of your life generally depicts what your goal in life is? And that if you will make the goal of your life Christ and Christ first, not only will your goals change, but so will your desires and your relationships and every other part of your life. And you will be more satisfied and full of joy than you could ever imagine. Wow, you might be saying, Kevin, those are some bold claims. What have you been reading? Or you might be saying, you know, who does this guy think he is? How do you think I could make such claims? Because they're true. God has provided this for us. The problem is we don't believe in it. We start believing it, we stop believing it because we think it's too good to be true. Now, before you convene your heresy court, take note that I didn't say you don't have to face the consequences of your choices or that your life will be without issues, problems, hurting, suffering, or even death. Well, that changes everything. No, that changes your perspective of what I said. Or did you just now believe what I said earlier? I want you to keep taking notes and judging my words. Please do. I give you permission. Actually, God wants you to hear and discern. Go ahead, make judgments. Just don't judge me. Seriously, you make judgments every day, and I would submit to you that you've already made some judgments from the time I started, and you're going to make a lot more before I'm through. I will also submit to us that we are masters of mitigation. We want to soften the blow. We work hard at this, especially when it comes to God's Word. Show me a way that I can get around it. Show me a way that it doesn't apply to me. Show me a way where I can do just enough to get by. So then, let's take care of how we listen to what God has for us today. From His holy and perfect Word, for this time, this place, for us. In the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 12 through 21. This is God's Word. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. Let's pray. Father, we pray that Your word goes forth, Lord. It goes forth from my mouth, Lord, into these people's hearts. My heart, Lord, speak to us. By the power of Your Holy Spirit, Lord, come into this place, permeate this place with that power. Power, Lord, to change and transform our hearts forever. Lord, I pray that. I pray that for me. I pray that for these people. And that, Lord, You would indeed speak. We would listen. And, Lord, we would not try to mitigate Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Not that I've already obtained this, or I'm already perfect, really means complete. You know, I'm a work in progress. God's not finished with me. But the thing of it is, we don't arrive. We don't reach perfection. In fact, we're not going to arrive. We're broken. We are deeply flawed. But we can be deeply loved and therefore deeply forgiven. This is the gospel. This is what we need to make us right with God. We need something to come from the outside into us. We need Christ to take hold of us, to capture us, to make us His own. We don't make Him our own. He makes us His own. He is the initiator and He is the perfecter. He creates, convicts, and converts us. He takes us just as we are, deeply flawed, and makes us His own. Deeply loved and deeply forgiven. This is remarkable. This is amazing grace. What does Paul mean by pressing on? We do not press on to make us right with God. Rather, we are made right with God in Christ so that we press on. We strive and strain to take hold of Christ because He has taken hold of us. We strive to capture Him because He has captured us. To the degree and depth and intensity we see, understand, accept our gracious gift, our being captured by Christ, can be directly correlated to the degree we press on. How we move forward. How and to whom we direct our focus. It is a laser-like life intensity. Some of you may know what this is. This is a concentrated solar power plant. It's in Tonopah, Nevada. That tower is 550 feet tall. Those are 10,000 mirrors focused directly at that point. That's the heat exchanger. Everything is turned towards that tower for the power. Everything is turned into power from that focus. It's an intense, intense focus, just as this laser is. A laser is simply stimulated photons. They get excited, and then they're forced out of a tiny hole to concentrated light, forced on a target. That's what Paul's talking about here. It's intense focus. You see, Paul tells us that he presses on to make his salvation his own only because Christ Jesus has made him his own. Paul can lay hold of his present and future life only because Christ has laid hold of him. He's been captured and captivated by Christ. And he is intense about making sure that all his mirrors are focused on the strong tower, if you will. This pressing on or laying hold to gain the prize is not works righteousness. It is not working to be made righteous or acceptable to God. It is not religion which claims that if I press on or lay hold, then because of that, God will accept me. No. It is that which distinctively marks Christianity from all other religions. You are accepted by God in Christ, and because of that, you press on. Some of you might be saying, well, Kevin, I believe this, and I know I'm applying this gift, the gospel, to my life. Then why is your life a story about consistent worry, getting power, being moral, gaining acceptance, up and down like a roller coaster? How do I know this? Because I'm only human. Your salvation and all the benefits are received, not achieved. And how you see, understand, and live by either of these concepts largely determines how your life on this planet will be lived. You see, the gospel is good news, not good advice. I'll tell you the difference. Good advice is something that's going to happen and you can do something about it. The gospel, the good news, is not good advice. Good news is something that's already happened and you can do nothing about it because it's been done for you. And you're left to respond. I'll illustrate it this way. You're in a kingdom and you have a king and he goes to battle an enemy who's invading the kingdom. And he conquers that kingdom. What kind of news is he going to send? Good news. He's going to say, the enemy's been conquered. Live in joy and peace. Let's say the king goes and battles that invading army and he loses. What kind of news is he going to send? Horsemen over here, archers over here, fight for your life! We have two choices. You can live in joy and peace, you can live fear and worry. I can tell you, they are miles apart. But I can also tell you, because I'm only human, that we often live on the wrong side of that. And we don't have to. This is not a casual thing Paul is talking about. He's not being egotistical or narcissistic when he tells the Philippian churches to imitate him and those like him. Actually, this is God talking to Paul and through Paul to the Philippian church and to us. Have you been captured? I will submit to you that you have been. By something or someone. You make the judgment what that means in your life right now. Let's review the goal that Paul is telling us to press on toward. Chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Everything we do based on our righteousness is rubbish. Dung is the word. In other words, it is all our straining and striving to gain acceptance from God. All our efforts to be all we can be. rather than worship God for all that He is. All that is dung, crap, poop. You put the label on it. The only real and true goal is Christ. In Christ, by Christ, for Christ, through Christ, so that, in order that, here is the this, if I have not already obtained this. Verses 10 and 11. In order that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and may share in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. So what is the goal? That I may gain Christ and be found in Him, in order that I may know Him, and three things: the power of His resurrection, to share in His sufferings, to identify with Him in His death. Wow, that's not something I want to sign up for. Oh, but I want the power. Yes, I'm with you, Kevin. Give us the power. Beam me up, Scotty. But we do not want to suffer or share in Christ's sufferings and death. We want the crown without the cross. Anyone feeling like a stimulated photon? Yet that is the goal. It is Christ. Christ is the goal and the prize. Know this: if you are a Christian, you've been taken hold of. You have been captured. You do have a spiritual resurrection already. It's called justification. You were dead, and now you're alive. Hallelujah. And you will have resurrection. There's an incredible future for Christians. Glorification when you die, and bodily resurrection in the second resurrection. It's amazing. Yet Paul is intensely zeroing in. He has a laser-like focus on the now, sanctification. He's talking about life, the ultimate life. He's not yet attained this. He's not complete. His time is not up. He's not yet kicked the bucket. Yet He gives us His bucket list. Do you have a bucket list? Have you seen the movie? Get this. Here's Paul's bucket list. Verse 14. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Wow. That wasn't on my list. What are we called to do? We're called by God, for God, for a distinct purpose rather than sucking air and taking up space on the planet. We are. We're called to a goal, a target, a heat exchanger, if you will. It's that which receives all glory and honor, whether or not we give it. But we're still called to give it. We're called to Christ, to be in Christ, to live for Christ, to submit to Christ, to love and obey Him as Savior and as Master. How do we press on to get the prize? If we've received, then what? What do we do with what we've been so graciously given? Paul says, imitate Him and those who walk according to the same example. Okay, what did Paul do? He obeyed his master's call. What was that? And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Did Paul do that? Have you read the book of Acts? You might say, well, that's just for Paul. He was special. Well, that's just for leaders. I'm not called to do that. After all, I'm being inculcated with entitlement and I'm a master of mitigation. I'm entitled to just come and listen and mitigate what I hear so that I can delude myself into thinking I don't have to do anything if I'm a Christian. Perhaps you're saying, Kevin, you just don't know my circumstances. I cannot be so focused on Christ. I'm just too busy, and if I let up, I'll drown. This is very intense language Paul uses in this text. And guess what? He's saying this from prison. Here's some questions that might help us recognize our focus. Who are we imitating? Who are we following? Who is discipling you right now? No, not simply coming to this place, okay? This is good and critical to the process, and I know some of you, it wasn't quite that simple to get here today. That's not what Paul's talking about. This is intense language. Keep your eyes on those who are walking as Paul did and his team did with laser-like intensity, all on the goal and the prize, Christ. It's a focus on expanding God's kingdom. If we're following those who set the example, we are following those who are responding to the mission given to us by our Master and to that to which Paul has a laser-like focus. We don't need a mission statement. We don't need a committee to form a mission statement. We have one from our Master. Go. Make disciples. Are you pressing like this? If not, find someone who is focused on the mission and get discipled. Why? What's the goal of being discipled? To make more disciples. So when you're being discipled, you start discipling someone else. This is far more than just coming to Christ or coming to church or inviting someone to church. It's far more. This is a life and death issue. One of my teachers says this, Jesus is great, hell is hot, and forever is a long time. I like that. Do I believe it? Does it matter? How much it matters will largely determine how you press on. Oh, we're from America, Kevin. There's no hell. Hell's not in the Bible. They don't really say hell. Somebody look up Matthew 10:28. Last service, I asked for that, and they read the wrong one. She apologized. Somebody look it up, please.
Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy
both body and soul. I can tell you something. I was raised in church, I went to church, I did all the right things, and I wasn't saved until 17 years ago. I was one of those out there. I was going to hell. But I had a mom. I had a mom that took me to that throne of grace. I don't know how often, but I know she did. And now I'm not going to hell. Now I know some of you are a lot like me, you know, caught up in the particulars. You're already thinking, well, what about this particular matter? Well, what about that practical matter, Kevin? Did Jesus say, when you figure it out, when you get your disciple-making program all streamlined, then you start discipling? Did Jesus say, well, only so-and-so are qualified to disciple. Everybody else get in. Just wait your turn. Did Jesus say, I came down here to live the life you couldn't lead, to die the death you should have died, and was raised again to give you life? Would you go ahead and sit back and just watch it all pass by? Just sit there and watch Netflix. I watch Netflix because I'm only human. Leaders, tell me, what's going to happen when there's a laser-like intensity and focus on disciple-making? Are we afraid of the process or the goal? How can I say this? Because I'm guilty of the same thing. I want the crown without the cross. Way too many times. Way too often. Truthfully, I must ask, would my life look much different if I suddenly stopped believing in God? Would my life look much different if I suddenly stopped believing in God? Another clarification. Making disciples includes evangelism. It's not either or, but both and. Disciple making involves two basic tasks, baptizing and teaching. Baptizing includes the proclamation of the gospel of God's kingdom and the call to repentance from sin and to faith in Christ. Teaching involves instructing people to follow Jesus' commandments concerning how He wants us to live. The order of these two elements of discipleship is critical. People do not become disciples of Jesus by obeying His commandments in order to win His acceptance. They have His acceptance as a free gift if they come to Him in faith. Jesus' disciples joyfully did what Jesus commanded them to do as a result of the proclamation and transformation that that gospel brought on their hearts. You see, this is how God set this life up. He created us in His image to worship Him, to put Him first, to give Him our utmost devotion together up all our life, all parts of it, our relationships, our loves, our finances, our time, our desires, our vocations, and press it into one light. Everything's focused and filtered through that one light, Christ. That's how we're designed. All the mirrors of our life, not fragments, not a flicker of this and a glimmer of that, but all of our life, all on the basis of who He is, what He desires, and what He has promised to do. Are you intense about something? Are your mirrors facing the tower, so to speak? The heat exchanger in the sky, the king of the universe that converts your pressing and straining into more and more and more and more love for you. This is how you can have the ultimate life. Right here. Right now. Let's pray. Father, I am a master of mitigation, Lord. I want to tear this down. I want to break it apart. I want to throw it out. I want to be Thomas Jefferson, Lord. I want to write my own Bible. I don't like that. I don't like that part. I don't like this part. But Father, You love me so much so that You gave everything for me so that I might have life, Lord, so that I may have life right now and life abundant. Father, help me to focus my mirrors on You, Lord, all of them, And Lord, in that, Lord, I can have an incredible life. Lord, I can live in joy and peace, not fear and worry. Help us all to do that, Lord, with laser-like intensity. In Jesus' name, amen.